From First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, here's Dr. Michael Milton.
I believe that God still speaks. And the Bible says of itself that it is sufficient. It is sufficient to help you and to give you answers and to guide you. God speaks to unlikely people. If you look at Abraham, if you look at David, Peter, and especially Paul, you get the same thing, that those who are crushed most are used best. God is in His Word waiting to speak to you. Can we still hear from God? Does God still speak? Are you listening for God?
The Bible declares faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Welcome to Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton, the radio outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, a ministry with one great passion and belief that faith comes from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in God's Word, and that faith in Jesus Christ is faith for living. This week, Dr. Milton brings to us a message entitled, Trusting the God Who Speaks, as we continue our series, Trusting God. Many people believe that God is silent, unknowable, and hidden from us, but they reject the fact that God has spoken to mankind through the prophets of old and in the pages of Holy Scripture, and clearly revealed Himself through His Son. Are you listening and trusting the God who speaks? The Bible text for today's broadcast is from Exodus chapter 3 and from Hebrews chapter 1. Here again is Dr. Mike Milton with today's message entitled, Trusting the God Who Speaks.
Well, this morning we're going to read a couple of passages about how God speaks. And it comes from Exodus chapter 3 in one place, and I'll be reading through verse 5, and then we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 1. I remind you that this is the very word of God. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And from Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But now in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. In his book, Secrets in the Dark, collection of sermons, Frederick Buechner has a sermon, and in that sermon he talks about the loss of his brother. On the anniversary of his brother's death, he decided to pick up the phone and call his brother's telephone number. He knew no one would answer and that he would get a recording, but he just wanted to talk to his brother, so he just dialed, and it kept on ringing. When I read that, I thought about how there are many who profess faith in Jesus Christ, but really go through life sending up prayers and going to worship services, but never really expecting to hear anything on the other end. And sadly, many go through their lives with that expectation, and many expectations are met. They don't seek God. They don't really believe He's there, and don't really believe He can speak. In the story of the burning bush, Moses hears from God in the wilderness, and life and history were changed forever. Can we still hear from God? Or will the phone just go on ringing? Does God still speak? Well, let's be upfront about a few things. First of all, when Moses heard God speak, Moses heard God speak. Moses heard the audible voice of God. God condescending to Moses, as Calvin puts it, in the angel of the Lord, but the text clearly says that God spoke to Moses. So somehow God speaks to Moses through the angel of the Lord, and Moses hears a real voice, the same way you're hearing my voice now. Equally true in the Bible, when we look at all of redemptive history, equally true is the fact that in times past, God did this. You say, is God free to do whatever He wants to do? Well, naturally. But God is not a liar. And God said, in times past, He spoke to us through the prophets. But it says, in these last days, and for the New Testament, the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ begins the clicking of the ticking of the clock. In these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. And we also know from 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the Word of God is actually breathed out by God. We believe that these 66 books are inspired by God, that they are absolutely everything that we need for faith and life. And we also believe that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to open up this text, and the Holy Spirit Himself will apply that to us as a people, and the Holy Spirit will apply His Word to you personally. And we affirmed in the larger catechism that God moves through providence. God surrounds us with people, maybe gives us counsel. He opens up doors, He closes doors. But the primary way that God speaks to us is through His Word, and everything must be validated by what God says in His Word. And His Holy Spirit will testify to Jesus in the Bible in your life, and He will lead you. And in that sense, I say this morning, I believe that God still speaks. And I believe that there are some of you here this morning who are looking for a word from God. And by that I mean you are looking for guidance and direction in your life. You're looking for open doors and shut doors. You're looking for answers to vocational issues, answers to big why issues. And the Bible says of itself that it is sufficient. It is sufficient to help you and to give you answers and to guide you. I believe that God still speaks. And in this passage, we are shown how God speaks in the Exodus passage, keeping in mind that in Hebrews we understand that God speaks to us through His Word and through His Spirit, as well as through providence. But let's just look at a couple of things together in the moments that we have this morning. How does God speak? Well, God, first of all, speaks in very unlikely places. That's obvious from the text. I mean, Moses is in a place that in the English Standard Version is called West, the west side of the wilderness. That could be a title of a book. It just sounds like a great phrase. The west side of the wilderness. Well, the Hebrew word there literally means a disorienting place. It's the place opposite where the compass would go. And in the Oriental mind, that compass goes east. It goes where the sun rises. That's the, you orient your entire life and your day and the hours of the day by that sun. Well, this word means the opposite of that. So, the west side of the wilderness. The revised Standard Version, the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, calls it beyond the wilderness. The far side of the desert, says the NIV. They're all saying the same thing, but I particularly like the English Standard Version, the west side of the wilderness. Because you know what, beloved? That's where I live a lot of my life. I live on the west side of the wilderness in a lot of places in my life. I live in the places that seem like the back 40, do you? I mean, you expect to be living in a place where there's kind of, your life is filled with stained glass windows and clear guidance from God. But in fact, your life is so often like mine, it's the west side of the wilderness, it's in the back 40. It seems far away. I know for certain that some of you are living, who are here this morning, are living in the west side of the wilderness, and you're saying, I am a long way from God, and I don't know how God is going to find me. Let me tell you something. Where do burning bushes occur? They occur in the wilderness. They occur in the most unlikely places of life. The burning bush, the appearance of God in your life guiding you and speaking to you, may just be in the midst of a divorce, may just be in the midst of a rehabilitation from chemical addiction, may just be in the middle of your depression. Is there any place that God can't be? Of course not. Burning bushes show up on the west side of the wilderness. That's just what God wants me to tell you this morning from the Word, because some of you need to know that He's there. And that in fact you will encounter Him and know Him more in those places than in any other place in your life. In my life, I tend to, as I look back on my life, the times in my life where I felt like I was on the back 40, you know, of God's kingdom, those are places where I look back now and I want to take my shoes off and because that feels like holy ground. The very hard places and difficult places of life become the places exactly where God showed up in my life. Don't you think that you are so far away from God that God is not there? God's love can breach the distance you've created between yourself and Him. He also speaks to unlikely people. And I would submit to you that Moses is a most unlikely person. Now, if you were to run an ad in the Chattanooga Times Free Press, and you were saying, what we're looking for is a leader to lead the people out of the bondage of Egypt across the wilderness into the promised land. What's the guy you'd be looking for? Well, we want to have clear experience in leading men, you know, being able to lead movements. And what do you get? You get a guy who leads sheep. We'd like a guy whose resume stays away from failure. We would like a series of successes that we could point to. Moses is a failure. We would prefer to have a guy, if he's gonna lead us across the wilderness and be the CEO of this group that's crossing the desert, he needs to be morally pure. God chose a murderer. God speaks to unlikely people. See, that's just the kind of man God can use. If you look at Abraham, if you look at David, Peter, and especially Paul, you get the same thing, that those who are crushed most are used best. Now look at Paul for just one moment. If you look in your Bibles in 1 Timothy, you come across one of my favorite passages. And in 1 Timothy, Paul says in verse 12, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service, though formerly I was a blasphemer. Paul begins to present his resume to Timothy and to the church at Ephesus and saying, here's my resume. And the point on his resume that he really focuses on is his failure. And here's what Paul says. He says in verse 15, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But listen to this. For I received mercy for this reason. Here's the reason. That in me, this is Paul's self-identity. This is why God chose me, Paul says. Because in me as the foremost what? Foremost sinner. Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. Paul is saying, I'm exhibit A. If God can use me, He can use you. That's what Paul's saying. And He can use you. God also speaks in uncommon ways. Here in a burning bush, it was on fire, but it didn't consume the bush. Very uncommon sight. It became an instrument that contained, somehow engulfed in this flame, the very angel of the Lord, whom God speaks through. And the ground all around it becomes holy, separated by the iridescent light, heat, beauty, magnificence of the vision. And God still speaks in, from the world's perspective, very uncommon ways. You know how it is? You know that book that you put on the back seat of your car and you always intend to bring it into church, but it's still sitting there? You know that book you got your name engraved on and you've always intended to maybe open it up at the supper table and just read a verse or two with your family? This is a flaming fire. This is a living word. This is a sword. And all of its pages, all of its stories are telling the story of God's grace and God's love, climaxing in the person of Jesus Christ to the degree that we understand from His very lips all of the Bible is about Him. There is a book that is out in a rather New Age genre that is called Everyday Grace. But I would like to submit another title, Everyday Glory. The burning bush is just waiting for you. God is in His Word waiting to speak to you as you come to Him in His Word. And I know you hear Sunday after Sunday in all of your life, you know, spend time in the Word of God, take some quiet time. We hear it, but I'm telling you, the world presses in on us, life presses in on us, and you can go through week after week and never really go to the burning bush. The Spirit of the Lord never really touch you. And you kind of go through life as a Christian and things kind of, truths kind of come at you, but they never reach the inside of you. It's like throwing a pebble and it never quite reaches the pond. But when we get into God's Word and we come to God and we say, oh God, I need you. I can't figure out why I'm on the back 40. I don't know why this has happened to me. God's going to come to you. He will not leave you as an orphan. He will come to you through His Holy Spirit. And His Word is alive and living, active. And it pierces like a sword to the very marrow of your soul. And that's like the rock that reaches the pond. And finally the pebble blump, drops in and there are ripples that go. That's that deep innermost part of you. Some of you are dying to know that. You're just dying to have that kind of life with Jesus Christ. And it is possible this morning. He speaks to us in uncommon ways. And there is everyday glory happening all over this congregation as answers to prayer are given. As people struggle with issues and God comes to them and helps them. God also speaks here through a compelling figure. The compelling figure here is the angel of the Lord. God condescending to Moses through this figure, clothing Himself in human form and blazing. Jesus Christ is the one who is on fire forever, blazing and piercing into your innermost being. The one who is altogether pure, altogether lovely, altogether holy, altogether God, altogether human, and altogether available to you this morning. This is the one approved of His Father when God said, "This is My Son, listen to Him." You know, not too long ago, I was in the the chaplain section of the Army Reserve, and I was in my back office, and I heard a conversation between a fellow who was a member of a cult. He came in, and he was talking to one of the junior chaplains there, and he was using scripture after scripture to try to confuse the chaplain and try to press him into a corner. And I was getting up out of my chair as if I was going to come and kind of rescue the day, as if I could have, but I wanted to be of help. And about that time, I heard the junior chaplain just stop and say, "Wait, I've only got one question for you. What are you going to do with Jesus, the Jesus of Scripture?" And you know what? I just sat back down in my chair because he got it. That question ended it all. And you know, that's a great question for you this morning. What are you going to do with Jesus? God speaks to us through a compelling figure, and the most compelling figure in all of history is Jesus Christ. And he stands before you today. He comes by word and spirit, and he comes to you this morning. And here's something else that happens when God speaks. He speaks to us personally. Do you know what happened here? He calls Moses by name. Moses, Moses. Can you imagine that? I mean, put yourself in the text. You're out with the sheep. You're pretty much a fugitive for 40 years. You wonder if God really cares. You've heard about the God of the Hebrews, and all of a sudden a bush catches on fire. You go to see what's going on. The bush is not consumed. The fire is there, and you hear your voice. Jim, Jim. Rachel, Rachel. But do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Isaiah 43:1, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name." God knows your name. And when I say God knows your name, when God said, "Moses, Moses," what was going on? Was it just his name? God knew more about Moses at that moment and was revealing to Moses that he knew than Moses could ever imagine. God knows you by name. He knows the innermost struggles that you have. He knows the innermost fears that you have. And he comes to you and speaks your name. Jesus Christ died on a cross, and the Bible says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall" what? "Save his people from their sins." And he had names. Beautiful names when he died on that cross. You trust in him and his name as he comes to you this morning personally. The other thing that happens in this story is the ground, the hard ground, becomes holy ground. The rocky ground, the ugly ground, the desert, the wilderness ground becomes beautiful. And I dare say that there are stories of God's grace here that as you look back on the hardest times of your life, there are people who will stand and testify and say, "Those were the best years of my life. Those hard places became holy places." He speaks in unlikely places to unlikely people in uncommon ways to a compelling Christ personally. And he causes hard ground to become holy ground. Let me close with this. I attended Dr. D.J. Kennedy's funeral, and James Dobson spoke. James Dobson talked about how Jim Kennedy was called, and he spent the time talking about his own father. And Jim Dobson said that his father was called to be an evangelist as a young man, but instead of yielding to the voice of the Lord in his heart, he said, "I want to do what I want to do, and I want to become an artist." And he went off to art school in Pittsburgh. And Jim Dobson's father became an artist, except he couldn't make a living because it was the Depression, so he ended up pumping gas on a side of town where there were no cars, which is a very interesting place to be a gas pumper. It was about there, in that wilderness place, that Jim Dobson's father said yes to God. And he encountered God in a fresh and a real way. And he said, "Imagine if he hadn't. Tens of thousands of people would have never heard the gospel from my father. And I would not have heard and understood and seen the commitment of my dad." And he talked about his own life as a legacy of his father's. And he said, "Imagine if all these years ago, Jim Kennedy, having heard God call him, would have resisted, as Anne, his wife, said he did for a year and a half. James Dobson said 6 million people have come to know Jesus Christ because of the life of Jim Kennedy. He could have retired comfortably as a manager from the dance studio, Arthur Murray. I would submit he'd probably still be alive, because that was a man who burned for Christ and for his glory and his kingdom. But as James Dobson said, here we sit, a man who heard a call. And he said, I'm very concerned that some of you hear the call today. He talked about a great oak that had fallen, but how new ones need to now arise in the forest in the generation in which we live. And I want to sound that call from this part of God's Word this morning. Are you listening for God? Or are there so many noises in your life that if God were to speak somehow, you couldn't hear Him anyway? And will you yield your life to Jesus Christ this morning as your Savior? Will you yield your life to Him in full-time ministry? Will you yield your life to Jesus Christ and listen to Him and stand up for Him and take a stand for Christ in your business? Does God still speak? Yes.
God is not silent. He has spoken and revealed Himself to us in the pages of His holy word and in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. For an audio copy of today's message, be sure to call or write and ask for Trusting the God Who Speaks. You can write to us at Faith for Living, 554 Macaulay Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. Or call 423-648-7914. That's 423-648-7914. You can also hear today's teaching on our website at faithforliving.net. This program is also available for downloading onto your iPod through iTunes.com. Faith for Living with Dr. Mike Milton is an outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, with a passion for God's Word, a heart for God's world, and a commitment to God's grace. Our mission is to gather and grow strong disciples of Christ, to be sent forth to make new disciples. Your generous gift sent to Faith for Living would be of great encouragement and would help us to get the broadcast out to more people. You're invited to send your gift of support to Faith for Living, 554 Macaulay Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. Now, until next time, on behalf of Mike Milton and First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with a living faith and a faith for living. I'm Dan Parker, and this has been a presentation of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga.